Working agreement. It's very important during the process of change to create and maintain a safe environment for ourselves and others to work in freely. Here is an example of some items that could be contained in something that we might call a working agreement. The working agreement is something that is brainstormed and collated between the group of people who are undertaking the change, and they create an agreement together for how they would like to work with each other. Here are some examples. We will keep the content of all of our exercises and meetings confidential. Or we will keep the content of all of our meetings and exercises fully communicated with everyone that needs to be involved. I commit to speaking about my own experience and say what I feel and what I think. I will be willing to fully engage in all parts of this process. I will be physically and mentally present for all of the meetings I have with my colleagues. And I will take responsibility for getting what I want out of this process. What could be some examples of a working agreement that would work well for you and your team? The seasons of change. The process of change can sometimes be thought of in terms of the seasons that we go through throughout the year. From a change perspective, the seasons don't come in any particular order, but like the real seasons in our year, they follow a process and they reiterate and go through an ongoing cycle. From a change perspective, spring is all about creation, new things and growth. It's about learning and about engaging with what is possible and seeking opportunity. Spring is followed by the summer, which is a period of awakening, where things that were sown during the spring come to fruition, and there is a realization of the efforts that have been made. We are now working on tested ground, and there is an opportunity for celebration of what is achieved, and a maturity of knowledge and understanding and implementation. The autumn follows the summer. And the autumn is a period for reaping the rewards of the efforts made in the previous seasons. It's a time for unwinding, a time for engaging with the power and the impact that have been achieved through all of the efforts undertaken so far. It's a time for considering expansion and for owning one's efforts and achievements. After the autumn comes the winter. And the winter is a time for things to slow down, where there is a shedding process and a hibernation, during which time regeneration can occur. A period for laying down foundations and for creating space for what will come next spring. In light of the seasons of change, have a think about these questions. Which season do you think your department is in now? Which season do you think your organisation is in? Or even your industry? And on a personal level, which season are you in? And how do these seasons line up? Or not, as the case may be. Thinking about which season each party is in now, what do you think might be needed to progress on to the next season, and so on? Interestingly, each season may not be of the same length or duration, or indeed of the same intensity. But what is important is that there is progress and movement throughout the seasons going through the cycle of life. The change curve. There is a very well-known diagram, simply called the change curve, which you can find easily on the internet. This change curve describes different people's responses and reactions to change as the process evolves over a period of time. Here are some examples of those reactions and responses. At the very beginning of a change process, many people are actually in a period of satisfaction. And at those stages, they will often be saying, "I'm happy as I am. I don't see a need for any change." As the change process continues, however, the next stage of the response is often one of denial. And that is when people will start to think, "This isn't relevant to me. This doesn't apply to me. This applies to other people." And again, as the change process continues to evolve, we then get a period of resistance, when people then might say, "I don't want this. I'm not going to do this. I don't like it." And at that point of resistance, this is the toughest part of the change curve, where it has fallen down into a trough. But even though it's in a trough, this is a natural and normal part of the change process and the responses that typically people can go through. The resistance can only last for a certain amount of time, and typically, after the resistance comes the sign of exploration, when people will respond and start to think and question, "Could this work for me? How could this work for me? And what might be in it for me?" People start to seek how they can identify with and fit in with the new way. This exploration leads then to hope, when people's responses can be, "I can see how I can make this work for me. I have ideas. It might be possible." And building then on from hope, the curve continues to rise and leads into commitment, when people's response is, "This works for me and my colleagues. I can see a way forward, and I'm committed to making it happen." One of the challenges with managing and leading change is that we sometimes expect people to jump straight from satisfaction into commitment for something new. And very often this isn't naturally the case. And we have to acknowledge and recognise that people will go through a process of responses before they can get to the other side. Our job, therefore, as a leader, is to help them go through that transition as comfortably and as smoothly as possible, but not ourselves go into denial that it needs to happen.